You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Time for the COVID-19 Daily Dashboard with Professor Adrian Puren, Head of the Centre for HIV and STIs at the NICD. Good evening, Prof.
Good evening, Michael. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Now, interestingly, the Health Minister says that while we are cautiously optimistic, it's still too early for us to make any definitive conclusions regarding the observed decline in infections. And I think to the point that you were making yesterday, he said we need to continue to track all of these indicators around and ensure that our testing capacity reflects a realistic picture of our epidemiological status. Would you go along with that?
Absolutely, Michael. You know, I've been looking at the chart or the tracking of the testing, and we've spoken about the coverage, you know, the positivity rates, and that has been stuck at about 25%. And looking at the numbers of tests that are being done, that has also actually declined over the last week or so. So I think there's really an urgent need to really understand, you know, how are we going to make sense of this particular epidemic, and how do we therefore look at testing and how to do that testing in order to ensure that we have a good idea of who is infected and how to prevent further transmissions.
And that's why I think it's also worth repeating that the Health Minister said that as part of this improving of our understanding of the records of COVID-19 related deaths in response to reports on excess death, the government's now going to require that all sudden deaths and those that occur at home must have specimens taken for COVID-19 before a death certificate is issued. So we'll start to see a much clearer picture. How long will that take to come through into the data?
Well, I think it depends again on the testing, Michael, and how that is done. You know, because you can foresee some what we call pre-analytical events, in other words. Mm-hmm. Once the body has arrived, the autopsy has to be done, or permissions may not be given for autopsies as well. And so again, that hurdle, I think, needs to be clear that can you take that particular specimen. If it is taken, it needs to go to the lab. And again, in terms of our prioritization of testing, you know, that is a critical result, obviously, for us to understand. So will those tests be prioritized? And will we get results in a fairly rapid way in order for us to then add to our tally, whether that be, you know, the so-called crude mortality rate or leading on to the more detailed work that the MRC is doing in terms of its mortality and morbidity reports. But remember, there are always these lags, Michael, and I think that's always the concern, how long these lags are. Given that testing, for example, still, I think the average is about 6 days to a result. So these things will accumulate in time, I'm afraid.
And 6 days is still far too long, really, to be useful in a kind of now casting current evaluation and assessment of where we are and how to manage this pandemic. When we look at the flu season, I certainly haven't encountered anyone in my immediate circle who's come down with the flu this year. So is it safe to say that we've managed to get rid of the flu, at least for one season? What are we seeing there?
So, Michael, there's an interesting phenomenon. I'm not sure if it applies to what we're currently seeing, but it's called what is called viral interference. In other words, if you were to track viruses across the different seasons in South Africa, for example, you'll certainly see, for example, common cold and then RSV and then flu. And that's because it's thought that these viruses, for whatever reason, it's not clear how this actually works, is that it actually, you have this sort of cyclical set of events. And this may be one of it, in other words, where we have this dominant virus in place, and that's actually shifted or interfered with the occurrence of flu. So it's really an interesting phenomenon that we're seeing. So in fact, the flu season may well be cancelled. I think it's a good thing that we encouraged everyone to have a flu vaccine that was accessible. But I think it also is critical in terms of, remember, we always spoke about the hospital beds, and we were really concerned about a flu season coming along, and that really also hindering our capacity abilities to manage this current epidemic. And that may too have been of benefit to what we're currently seeing in terms of, you know, not exceeding our capacities in terms of the bed usage and ICU usage. Again, you know, if you look at those, if you track oxygen utilization, and ICU bed utilization, it's really, those curves are really relatively flat, Michael.
Do you think there is also some evidence here, or is it too early to say there's direct causal relationships between compliance to the non-pharmaceutical interventions that we hammer home almost daily as a contributory factor behind some of the declines that we're seeing currently?
Yes, I think that that's going to be important for us to understand, especially as we go down the hill and then the roller coaster up with another surge, is really to try and understand what are the attributes or attributable factors before that, I think, the earlier peaks in our country. And that may well be one of the factors. In fact, that despite the, because of the lack of compliance, but that the extent may have not been to the point where it is actually not contributing to prevention of transmission, especially mask wearing, I would think. That may well be an important contributor. I know we focused a lot on hand hygiene, but in fact, maybe the mask wearing certainly may have contributed greatly to what we're actually observing. But these things are very difficult, as you can imagine, in terms of modeling exercises, how to add that to your model and to the extent that it has contributed here.
And I was reading a very interesting article in The Atlantic posted yesterday. I forget the date, so I'm not saying it was published yesterday, but I read it yesterday around the fact that we just need to get our heads around the fact that this SARS-CoV-2 is with us now probably for good. It's going to become, even once we have a vaccine, something that will wax and wane seasonally. And that really is important in terms of the way we need to start preparing ourselves to live with just another virus that we've got to deal with.
Yes, and in fact, as you know, some viruses have adapted. So some of the coronaviruses, such as the ones that cause the common cold, have adapted, and they're there. And again, they are cyclical every 2 years. That we do have these coronaviruses. So this may be one of those, but I think maybe a more serious one in the sense of, you're quite right. Herd immunity, we're nowhere near that, even if we take into account the fact that there are asymptomatic transmissions, that we don't know how effective the vaccine is going to be. And perhaps the long term is to have viruses and vaccines that will actually give us longer term immunity. If you think about measles and so forth, but is that possible? I mean, given that we've not been successful with flu, for example, we have to vaccinate every year virtually, but will we reach that point? And Michael, I think there were some prescient comments, I think, very early on in our discussions coming through from various scientific observers that, yes, this virus is going to be with us for a number of years, up to even 5 years, some people were speculating, but maybe even longer than that.
Statements from the World Health Organization over the weekend ring true that there's no silver bullet at the moment, and there might never be. I just want to finish with a couple of questions from Mel. First one, can I be reinfected with COVID-19? As we see, we've crossed the 500,000 infections point. There are going to be many people out there who would have been infected and hopefully recovered as well, and will be wondering whether or not they're safe, whether or not now they're the lucky ones who can just carry on with their business and not have to worry about wearing masks and all that kind of thing. What's your take on that?
Yeah, so Michael, I know there's been a number of cases, I think, in South Africa and across the world where people have said that they've been reinfected. There's been some demonstration, at least when doing what we call the gold standard PCR testing, that in fact, RNA is detected. But RNA being detected is not equivalent to saying that there is a viable virus. And I think until there is good evidence of viable virus, I think we need to, firstly, if people do present and still test for RNA, to really look for other causes of their particular conditions. And as you know, there's this long hauler phenomenon. In other words, people are still having the side effects of this particular infection as a result of inflammatory causes, most likely, or other viruses being activated. So I really would be cautious. I think the other caution that we spoke about is that even though there may be waning immunity, we're really referring very often to antibody responses, and there may well be T-cell responses that are protective. So I don't think there's really any definitive evidence at this time that there is reinfection. I think even the studies, I think, in South Korea, which started off this discussion around the possibility of reinfection certainly showed those individuals certainly had RNA present, but no virus could be grown in culture. And also in the settings of homes of these particular individuals, they appeared not to be secondary attacks or transmission. So it's still not possible. I don't think we should necessarily discount it. It may be a rare event, but at this time we don't have really have good evidence for it, Michael. Yeah.
And on that, I've got to say that's all the time we have for. We'll tackle Mel's second question on whether we can test our way out of this outbreak in the new week. Professor Adrian Puran, as always, with the C19 Daily Dashboard here on Classic Business, and Williams is standing by with your news up next.